Tonight, it's a little bit different. We gather to remember the death of our Lord. The story does not end on a Friday. It doesn't end in death. Aren't you glad for that this evening? For sure we are. There's a Sunday that's coming, a Resurrection Sunday. There will be rejoicing in that then, but not really tonight. Today, it's Friday. It's the day of crucifixion. It's the day of death. It's the day of mourning and sorrow and grief. It's Friday. It's the darkest day in history. Tonight, we turn our attention to Calvary and what happened there. In Matthew 27 and verse 1, we read it this way. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Verse 15, now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? Verse 20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Verse 27, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they had mocked him, then they led him away to crucify him. Historians figure that, in fact, it was not the Romans that actually invented crucifixion. The Persians get credit for that. The Romans, though, are figured to be the ones who perfected it. Crucifixion as a torturous, agonizing kind of death. First, the humiliation. The mockery. The victim is stripped, beat upon, spat upon. Let's change that. Let's make it to be as it was. Jesus is stripped naked before the soldiers. They laugh at him. They mock him. They put a scarlet robe on him, a stick in his hand. They twist together a crown of thorns and press it into his head through skin to the skull. And the culmination of their mockery, hail, King of the Jews. Then the torture begins. The flogging, considered actually to be an act of mercy in that it often led to a quicker death. The victim, Jesus, was stood up against the pillar, his hands, listen, tonight, don't miss this, the one whose hands fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. God, Almighty God, in flesh appearing, his hands and feet are chained. There were two soldiers involved in the flogging. It was that grueling of a task. Two soldiers skilled in the use of the flagellum. It's a stick, leather straps, embedded with sharpened metal, glass, and bone. And that whip was brought across the back of the victim, brought across the back of Jesus from the base of the skull to just above the knee. In the words of one, producing quivering ribbons of bleeding flesh, so shredding the back that the sufferer's veins were laid bare, muscles, internal organs, even the spine oftentimes exposed. Can you envision the picture in your mind's eye? When all is said and done, here stands Jesus. The skin literally peeled away from his body, from his neck to his knees. Soldiers stripped him. He stands before the crowd, naked, humiliated beyond comprehension. A scarlet robe, a crown of thorns, a staff in his hand. They've spit on him. Do you see it? Do you see him? Bloody, beaten, bruised and battered, his face marred beyond recognition, riddled with spits. And the soldiers, in further degradation, bowing before him, "Hail, King of the Jews," only to rise then and continue to strike him. It's a humiliation and horror that cannot be fully comprehended. A revolting and repulsive scene that in many ways ought not be looked upon. And really, it's just the beginning. Following that, the victim would be strapped to a cross piece, accompanied by Roman soldiers, a placard around their neck indicating their crime, and on then to the place of execution. Oftentimes, that place was wherever you'd have the greatest amount of foot traffic, so that everybody would see what was happening, serving to warn, to intimidate them then, and also further add to the shame, the guilt, the humiliation of the accused. One writes, "Crucifixion was explicitly designed to prolong the victim's torture as long as possible. Crucifying them unclothed, naked, and ashamed while putting their debasement on full display for all to see. It had as its express purpose the elimination of victims from consideration as members of the human race. It was meant to indicate to all who might be toying with subversive ideas that crucified persons were not of the same species as either the executioners or the spectators, and were therefore not only expendable but also deserving of ritualized extermination. Crucifixion was a ceremonial act of dehumanization where the person was treated, where Jesus was treated. You understand? God's very own only son, where Jesus was treated as subhuman filth, an outcast of society, the lowest scum, unfit to be considered part of the human race, undeserving of the slightest dignity or mercy. Therefore, the mocking and jeering, the verbal assaults that accompanied crucifixion were not only allowed, they were part of the spectacle and were programmed into it. In a sense, crucifixion was a form of entertainment. Everyone understood that the specific role of the passerby was to exasperate the dehumanization and degradation of the person who had been thus designated to be a spectacle. Crucifixion was cleverly designed, we might say diabolically designed, to be an almost theatrical enactment of the sadistic and inhumane impulses that lie within human beings. And it was this crucifixion that Jesus, the Son of God, voluntarily and purposefully experienced and endured. At the place of execution, the crucifixion finally begins. One writes, "The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards." Again, once more, we change it. We'll read it as it was on that Friday at Calvary. "The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted Jesus is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of Jesus' wrist. He drives a heavy, square, wrought iron nail through it into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted and dropped into a hole, causing Jesus great shock and pain as it settles into place. His left foot is pressed backward against his right, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim, Jesus, is now crucified. as he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails and the wrist, putting more pressure on the median nerves. Excruciating fiery pain shoots along his fingers and up the arms to explode in his brain. As Jesus pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places the full weight of his body on the nail through his feet, again feeling the searing agony of nail tearing through nerves. As the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through his muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. Jesus fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he's able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. And now it's this. Hours of this. Hours of limitless pain for Jesus. Cycles of twisting, joint wrenching, cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It is now almost over for the Lord. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood. The tortured lungs are making frantic efforts to gasp in only the smallest gulps of air. The condemned, Jesus, can feel the chill of death. Finally, he can allow his body to die. And he does. On a hill called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of the skull. The mockery, the shame, the brutality of a crucifixion, the pain of a cross, the agony of being forsaken by the Father, our Lord Jesus, he breathes his last, he gives up his spirit, he dies. In light of this brutality, this suffering and pain, this shame, it would in many ways seem to be the best for us to put this memory out of our mind. This, it's too gruesome. It's too bloody. This, it's too violent. It's too horrific. It's too upsetting. It's too disturbing. That's our Lord, after all. That's Jesus enduring all that. The initial thought may be the best for us to do, to not think of Calvary. Try to forget the cross and what Jesus suffered there. Forget Friday. Let's just get on to Sunday. No, but in fact, no, that's not what we do at all. One says this, life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross. Cherish it for the treasure that it is and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. What was once foolishness to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom and our power and our only boast in this world. Put the memory out of our mind. Not think of Calvary. Forget the cross. No. No, no, no. We love that old cross. We cherish it. Tonight, this, in effect, what we do, we come to that cross to spend a few minutes to linger there at the foot of it. Watch this for a moment.
Cross. It was meant to horrify the world. It was meant for humiliation. It was meant to last for days, It was meant for slow asphyxiation. It was meant to prolong torture. It was the Roman soldier's job. It was meant to be used by Caesar, but instead, it was used by God. It was meant to stop a movement, but instead, it became the way. It was meant to act on fear, but instead, it awakened faith. It was meant to be vicious and violent, but instead, it became our peace. It was meant to uproot hope, but instead, it became the seed. It was meant to punish captives, but instead, it unleashed freedom. It was meant to build up Rome, but instead, it built God's kingdom. It was meant to discourage rebels. It was meant to stop insurrection. It was meant to put down Jesus, but instead, it set up his resurrection. It was meant to jeer and mock him, but instead, it was his glory. It was meant to erase a chapter, but instead, it became the story. It was meant to hold up convicts, but instead, it raised up a king. It was meant to shut our mouth, but instead, it's why we sing. It was meant to be a judgment, but instead, it became our mercy. It's why the song of heaven is the Lamb is worthy. It was meant to kill an enemy, crush dissenters and diversion, but instead it became the banner of God's love for every person. It was meant to be appalling, nailing hands and feet to wood. It was meant to be used for evil, but instead it was used for good. It was meant to be a symbol of God's assassination, but instead, it became the symbol of Jesus' invitation. Come to the cross. Instead of sin and stain, you are meant to be made clean. Instead of being forgotten, you are meant to know your sin. Instead of being ashamed, you can leave behind your guilt. Instead of feeling empty, you were meant to be fulfilled. Instead of being broken, you are meant to be made whole. Here, Calvary is calling. It beckons you. Behold, come to the cross. Instead of being an accident, you have a purpose and a plan. Instead of being abandoned, you were chosen by his hand. For all who've said I can't, God has said I can. No matter what you've done, the invitation stands. Come to the cross. Instead of being doubtful, you are meant to know your Father. You are meant to be his son, and you are meant to be his daughter. You were cherished from the start. You are always in the picture. Instead of being a victim, you are meant to be a victor. The result of Jesus' blood, salvation has arrived. Instead of being dead, you are meant to be alive. The cross, it was meant to signal death, but instead, it's a sign of living. It was meant to be the end, but instead, it's our beginning.
Hallelujah. No wonder we cherish the cross. Put the memory out of our mind. Not think of Calvary. No. No way. We come to the cross. We cling to it. We cherish it. Jesus, we thank you tonight for the cross. We thank you, Lord, from a visual perspective, from a reality of what's happening there, there's a horror attached to the cross. But because of what you do for us there, because of the demonstration of God's love that's shown to us there. Oh, what a beauty, what a wondrous attraction we have to that old rugged cross. We cling to that cross. We recognize tonight as we survey the wondrous cross. We recognize tonight it demands from us our all. It demands from us our love for you, our devotion to you. We give that to you tonight. This is the expression of our gratitude tonight. We offer up to you a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We say, thank you, Jesus. We praise you tonight. We exalt you tonight. We lift you up tonight. As the Lamb of God sacrificed for us, crucified for us. We thank you tonight. Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us, that you'd turn our heart, that you'd turn our attention, all that you would desire to speak to us by way of your word, all that you would desire to reveal to us by way of your word because of the cross. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 41, we read this. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. Listen to these words. Be captivated by them, even as I was and really always am. Matthew 27 and verse 43, he trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. Whenever I read this in Matthew, I'm drawn, I'm captivated by these words every time. Absolutely in shock and awe at this message of them. Let God rescue him if he wants him. But there's no rescue, not for Jesus, not on this Friday. There's no rescue. Listen, I don't know if it's the right way to say it, but it's how I'm going to say it tonight. There's no rescue because God didn't want him, he wanted you. Over his very own son, at the expense of all that we've considered already. The mockery, the spitting on, the brutal beating of, the suffering, the crown of thorns that pierced his brow, nails driven into his hands and feet, a spear in his side, his death. He trusted in God through it all. God could have rescued him if he wanted him, but he didn't. He wanted you. Over his very own son, despite the cost of his very own son. Listen to me tonight. God chose you. His son, body, beaten and broken, God chose you. He chose your healing. Body, mind, emotion, heart, most of all, best of all, healing for your sin-sickened, dead spirit. His blood shed. Listen, God chose you. He chose your forgiveness. Though your sin stained you like crimson, you can today be white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, so today can your sins be removed that far from you. All because on this day, on this Friday, there's no rescue for him, not for Jesus. Because on this day, on this Friday, God chooses you. His sorrow and suffering, he chose your joy, his abandonment. Do you remember it? Can you hear the words even as you envision the cross in your mind's eye? You see it in your mind's ear, as it were. Can you hear it? My God, my God, my Father, my Abba, why have you forsaken me? His abandonment. God chose your acceptance. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. The cry of Jesus from the cross, my God, my Abba, why have you forsaken me? Because God chose you so that you, in your hurt, in your need, in your abandonment, you might cry out to him, my Abba, Father God in heaven, I need you. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your help. His sacrifice. He chose your salvation. His defeat. He chose your victory. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil's work is sin. Listen, my brother, my sister, but you've been set free. You don't have to be. You're not a slave to sin anymore. The devil's been disarmed, triumphed over, his work destroyed because Christ died, because God chose you instead of rescuing him. The devil's work is to put enmity between you and God. But listen, there is not that anymore. The devil's been disarmed, triumphed over, his work destroyed. Listen, you're a friend of God, the apple of his eye. Better, you're a son. Listen, my brother, you're a son. My sister, you're a daughter. Because Christ died, because God chose you instead of rescuing him. The curse of sin, the devil's work, it's sickness and suffering. No, but you understand tonight, the curse is broken. The devil disarmed, triumphed over. The devil's work destroyed. And listen now, by his stripes, his body broken, broken because God chose you instead of rescuing him. By that, you are healed. The curse of sin, the devil's work, it's death, hell, and the grave. I know it's Friday, it's not Sunday yet. It's the day of crucifixion, gruesome brutality, horrific violence, pain and suffering and death. It's the worst day. It's the darkest day. I know it's that. And I know we're not here this evening just to look past the Friday and to get to a Sunday. But listen, spoiler alert, the devil's disarmed, triumphed over, his work destroyed. And because it is, you live. You live because he died. And he died because God chose you. The devil's disarmed, triumphed over, his work destroyed. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. Because on this day, there's no rescuing him. He dies. He experiences your eternal hell. He's put in the grave because God chose you to live. His cursing hung on a tree. God chose you. He chose blessing for you. His death, the wages of sin is death, but he was sinless. He didn't deserve to die. Listen, he deserves to be rescued, but he's not. Not on this day, not on this Friday. He's not because God chooses you. He chooses life for you. Abundant life now, eternal life to come. On this day, Friday, the day of crucifixion, the day of death, mourning and sorrow and grief, the darkest day in history, God chose you. Do you hear me tonight, my brother, my sister? Maybe you're in the room and you feel that no one has ever chosen you. Do you understand? Some 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, the place of the skull, Golgotha, there God chose you. Listen, He chose to forsake His Son so that He might embrace you. He chose to let Him die so that you could live. He chose not to rescue Him so that He might rescue you. And for that, this day, Friday, the day of crucifixion, the day of death, mourning, sorrow, and grief, the darkest day, it makes you to know, listen now, you are loved. You are valued. Listen, with all due respect, you're wrong to ever deny it, ever doubt it, ever question it. The cross screams through the ages to you, no matter your sin, no matter your shame, no matter your regret, no matter your feelings of worthlessness, the cross screams to you tonight. And even every night, every day, every moment of every day, you are loved and you are valued. You can be saved and set free. You can live in victory. And oh, hallelujah, you can live forever. And for that, this Friday, this day of crucifixion, of death, mourning, sorrow, and grief, the darkest day in history, we call it good. We thank the Lord for a good Friday. They mocked Him. They spit on Him. They beat Him. They nailed Him to a cross. They killed Him. He trusted in God. God could have rescued Him if He wanted Him. But He wanted us. And the mocking and the beating and the cross, His death, that's how God could get us. So this day, this Friday, God called it good. And Jesus submitted always to the Father. He endured it with joy. It was good. And for what Jesus did for us, what Jesus accomplished for us, God choosing us, God rescuing us, this day, this Friday, we call it good. Father, we thank You tonight for the cross of Calvary. We thank You, God, for choosing us. We recognize it tonight. It's always the truth. We are so unworthy. So unworthy. This is Your Son. He trusted in You. You could have saved Him. He Himself could have called for angels from heaven to come and set Him free. You could have done it. He could have done it. But there's no rescuing, not on this day, not for Jesus. Instead, there's only the mockery. There's only the beating. There's only the crown of thorns. There's only nails in a hand and spear in a side. There's only the cry from Calvary, "My God, my God, my Abba, why? Why have You forsaken me?" There's only the cry, "It's finished." There's only the death. On this day, there is no rescuing for Jesus. Because instead You chose us. You chose to rescue us. We thank You tonight. We rejoice in that tonight. Would you just take a few minutes as we prepare ourselves for communion? Would you just thank God for choosing you? Maybe you're here tonight and you find yourself distant from Him. maybe tonight, no matter where you're at, you sense it even as I would. There's a drawing of your heart to come to the cross, to come closer and closer to Jesus. This Jesus who does this for me, this God who chose me on this day, there's a stirring within my heart to come close, closer and closer to Jesus, to embrace Him, to devote my life to living for Him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about a God who so loved you that He gave His one and only Son for you. I'm talking about a God who, instead of coming to the rescue of His Son, came to your rescue, my friend. I'm talking about Jesus who endured this on your behalf. Don't you sense it even as I do? For that reason, there's a stirring within us to come closer, closer, closer. Would you respond to that tonight, no matter where you are? I just sense it. You feel it even as I do. The stirring of the Spirit within your spirit. Get closer to Jesus. The call tonight, because of Calvary, God chose you, my friend, my brother, my sister. God chose you. Get closer to God tonight. Would you take a moment? Would you respond to that the Spirit is speaking into your heart? Would you take a moment? Would you do this? Would you just tell Him you love Him? Come on, these words. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you tonight. We love you, Jesus. Just tell Him. As we prepare to partake of the bread and to drink of the cup, let's make our hearts to be right tonight simply by this. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We come close to you. We surrender to you. We devote ourselves to you. We live for you. Just do that for a moment with your mouth, with your heart. Pour out your love to Jesus. Our acceptable worship tonight. We pour out our love to Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, our worship and praise. Oh, Jesus, how we love you. How we love you. My brother, my sister, commit your life to this. You're the one. You're the one we're going to live for. You're the one we're devoted to. You're the one. You're the one our hearts adore. You're the one. Nothing of this world. Nothing of this world. Jesus, you're the one. Not anything, not anyone. Jesus, you're the one. You're the one. Oh, how we love you tonight. Jesus, how we love you tonight. on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He gave thanks. This is his body broken for us. This is God choosing you. You were an enemy of God. Jesus, he trusted in God. God could have saved him if he wanted him, but God wanted you. He chose you. So his son, his only son, for that purpose, his body was broken. Jesus, we thank you for a body broken for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. And that same night he took the cup, his blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin and mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist says this, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who could stand? No one has a chance. No one has a chance. But there is forgiveness with thee. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank him for his forgiveness tonight. Do you understand? Once more, my brother, my sister, listen. This is God choosing you. Jesus was sinless. He didn't have to die. He didn't need to die. He shouldn't have died. He was sinless. He trusted in God. God could have rescued him if he wanted him. But God wanted you. God chose you. And so his very own son, his blood would be shed so that your sins could be forgiven. You could be made righteous and you could have a place in God's family. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, my brother, my sister. You have to thank him for that tonight. You have to thank him for that tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for amazing grace. We thank you that the chains of sin have been broken over us. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're slaves to righteousness because the blood of Jesus has set us free. We thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you lift your hands? Just worship for a minute. Just worship Jesus for what he's done. Worship him for his amazing grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just worship the Lord for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for this. Hallelujah. We thank you for freedom tonight. We thank you for healing tonight. We thank you for deliverance tonight. We thank you for amazing grace tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now keep your hands lifted to receive his blessing tonight. On this Good Friday, my brother, my sister, listen, the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. And on this night, remind you, and for every night to follow, every day to come, remind you that at Calvary, he chose you. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Just quickly a reminder. Listen, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we will see you Sunday morning. And what a day of celebration that will be. God bless you tonight.